Our scripture today is from the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, and again 11 through 12. And let's pray in preparation to receive this God's word. Lord, we thank you for the love that you gave us in this moment, for the show of mercy upon our hearts, that you give us your word. Lord, we thank you that this is your word. We pray that your word goes into our hearts and in our lives and stays there, changes us even just a little bit, that we may be more yours and serve you all the more. We pray to you, Lord, also for your mercy upon the sermon. May it too be used for your glory, that your name is praised. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 to 4 and 11 to 12. Hear now God's word. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith during all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of his call and will fulfill by his power every good resolve and work of faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So most of you know by this point, if you haven't, then you'll know in just a second, that part of me, there's a part of me that tends to be kind of dark on occasion. I've often said that I'm more of a winter type person, not that I like winter necessarily, but just kind of that dreariness on occasion, than I am a summer type person, you know, happy-go-lucky. Ooh, I'm not that kind of person, more darker, and my humor is sort of darker and that sort of thing. So I got to say, when I was thinking about the children's message today and the sermon, which again I tried to keep the themes similar between the two, one of the things that came to mind was serial killers, mass murderers, kind of thought of them. Because there seems to be one thing in common between almost all serial killers and all mass murderers, at least when where the media is involved. When a media person interviews the neighbors of the serial killer or the mass murderer, what do they say most often? Such a nice person. I never knew. He seemed so normal. You know, all this stuff. And it brings up, I think, a truth that is not only common with mass murderers and serial killers, but also with each of us. So I don't know how this truth is going to sit with you, being that you have something in common with mass murderers and serial killers. But the truth is that most of us have a face, a veneer, a character that we live in public, and it's not until we're home behind closed doors that we often feel like we can be our true selves. I always enjoy visiting in people's homes because I get a glimpse into who they really are in those moments in their house, because the house is oftentimes a window to the true person. The outside can be, you know, perfect or whatever, but the inside reveals other things. What you'll find in our house is a bunch of video games, because I love playing video games with my kids, and my kids love playing video games also. Our house isn't the most immaculate house. It's a lived-in home. You know, in the corners, you may find a little dust here. We, in our home, love spiders. And so, by we, I mean my wife, loves spiders. I like spiders, too, although they do creep me out. So if you look in the living room, up in one of the corners, we have a spider that has kind of made a home for himself there, and we won't touch him. He's happy up there and getting fed and getting bugs. You know, this is part of the truth of who we are. Where do you keep your shoes? Where's that? Where you leave them. Do you have a favorite place to leave your shoes? By the door, good. So my favorite place to leave my shoes is not everyone's favorite place to leave shoes. It is, we have a coffee table in the living room, and there's two couches right next to the coffee table. And so when I'm sort of done for the day, I sit down at the couch, and then I just slip my shoes off and push them underneath the coffee table. I know where to find my shoes because they're always under the coffee table. Until the house gets cleaned. And then I don't know where my shoes are. I don't know where they go. Case in point, this morning, I was looking for my dress shoes, and I could not find them because they were not under the coffee table. So I had to wear a pair of black slip-on shoes that I never wear to church. So I couldn't find my dress shoes. We have this place in our house we can be us. We can be the truth of who we are. But out in the world, sometimes we don't often feel like we can be that way. If I visit somebody else's home, and they have a coffee table next to the couch, I'm not going to feel comfortable in their house taking my shoes off and sliding them on under the coffee table. Now, I know some of you may say, well, Justin, if you're in my house, you can do that. And I certainly appreciate that. But it's not. Well, here's a prime example of how we can be us. One of my favorite things to do after a meal is to lick the plate. When I'm home, I can lick the plate. As long as there are certain people who aren't in the room. So sometimes I got to go in the kitchen and lick the plate and then put it away. But if I'm eating out somewhere, I'm not going to lick the plate. Although I tell you, it would be a compliment if I did. We can't always be ourselves, or we don't always feel free to be ourselves. But we should. And this scripture today talks about a church. Because the thing about ourselves that we mentioned last week is all of us were created by God. And so because we're all created by God, we have within us this thumbprint of God, this thing in us that makes us part of God, or at least a creation of God. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are writing to the Thessalonians. And what they say of this church, and now this word is very difficult for me to say, what they say in this church of Thessalonica is that they're great. They love the Thessalonians. In verse 3, he says, "We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith during all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring." meaning that when you go to the church in Thessalonica, you're greeted with love. This is the truth of who they are. They live that truth of Christ's love in the moment you step in. That their love, their faith is growing abundantly, and love for everyone, for one another, is increasing every day. And though they've been going through hard times, they've been persecuted by the government, by others, they've had numerous afflictions, yet they still endure. Paul is saying, you are living your truth. Who you are in Jesus Christ is being shown to all. I'll tell you, church isn't always like this. Church sometimes in the 1950s, 60s, 40s, you had your Sunday best that you would put on. But that didn't only talk about clothes. It also talked about personalities. You had your Sunday personality. How many mothers growing up during that time told their children, now you be on your best behavior. My parents did. My dad was the preacher who was up there. But my mom, I swear, she could reach clear across that sanctuary and pull my short hairs. Now, if you've ever had your short hairs pulled, you know what those short hairs are, and you know what they feel like. There's right at the base of your neck on your hairline. You can grab a hold of those with your fingers. You pull up on them. You know to stop doing what you're doing. I'll be honest with you, when me and my siblings get together and are at a church service with my dad, which doesn't happen very often, but still, even in our 30s and 40s, my mom will pull our short hairs. Because you, in church, you be on your best behavior. You hide your problems. You hide your issues. You don't talk about them. You listen. You worship to God. You go home to your house where then you can be yourself. But in a place like the Thessalonians church, you were loved. No matter who you were, what you were like, what you acted like, what you dressed like, you were loved. The faith and love for one another increased. Persecutions and afflictions, which aren't allowed in church, their steadfastness and faith endured during those times. Of course, they're allowed in church. And in their church, they had many. And so Paul prayed for them. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of His call and will fulfill by His power every good resolve and work of faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we live our true self when we're in church? And remember, we're always in church. We're always part of the body of Christ. So that God's love might be shown. So that the love of Jesus Christ can be shared with one another. How many of you are perfect? Oh, such a loaded word. What does that even mean? I don't know what that means. Did you say Drake's perfect? Oh, Brent's perfect. But the rest of us aren't. We live our true self. Because what we see in those moments is Jesus loving the imperfect. And isn't that a wonderful thing to see? I don't know if I shared this with you yet. I don't think I did. In my time in Dayton, Ohio, I'll close with this. My time when I was in Dayton, Ohio for that training a couple weeks ago, we went to two churches. Did I tell you it's about New Hope? No? Okay. We went to two churches on Sunday. And one of the churches was called Mosaic. Mosaic is a church rehab is what they call it. So there was another church that existed there, but the church was dying. And so someone else came in and used that existing church to build another new church. And it was called Mosaic, and it's a 500-member church at this point. When we went, they have four services on a Sunday, and the service we attended was a smaller service. It was probably 100-120 people there. I know, to call that small was, I mean, we would love to see that, right? But for them, it was one of their smaller services. And it was very laid back. There were, you sat in chairs. They had the band, of course. I say of course because it just seems the way people are going these days. You don't have to have one. But anyway, they had a band, and they had a speaker, and the service was about an hour. And they asked me, they asked all of us what we thought of these two churches. And I said, in churches, you have three different feelings to people who are new. There's those churches where if you get a new person in, you can't hide. As much as you try to hide, you can't hide. Because the pastor will say, and today we have a visitor today. Would you please stand up so that we can all greet you? You won't ever find me doing that. But there are churches that do that. And then there are churches that you can hide. And the Mosaic Church was one of those churches. There was the main area for worship, and then off to the side there were sort of some couches and comfy chairs. And if you wanted, you can come in, sit in the back, or sit over the couches, not talk to anybody, and someone would greet you like, hello, and you'd be like, hi, and then they'll let you go sit in the comfy chairs. And then do the service, and then get up and leave and not talk to anybody. Hiding. And some people need that. Some people desire that, but some people kind of need that because in their life, maybe they're going through something, they just want to worship and go. I don't know. But then we went to this other church immediately following Mosaic, and this church is called New Hope. New Hope is on Xenia Street in Dayton. I don't know if you're familiar. I was not familiar with Dayton, but apparently Xenia Street is like the bad part of town. It's a very economically depressed place. Drugs, alcoholism, addictions, prostitution, it's all on this street. And it's all very high. And you can't go on Xenia Street and not see it. I mean, it's just there. And so this church was planted there about 15 or so years ago. And it's based on recovery programs in this church. And it doesn't look like a church. They bought the block out. It's old theater. There's an old bar there. And in the old bar, they hold their AA meetings and their addiction meetings, which the irony there is so wonderful. So they had this small area that they used for church services. And when we went there, the number of tattoos and piercings that existed in that room of about 50 people, there wasn't too many there, was enormous. You really couldn't count all of them there. But the neat thing about this place is that not only couldn't you hide, you didn't want to hide. There was no purpose in hiding. Everyone's stuff was already out there. Everyone who walked through that door knew exactly who they were and what problems they had. And there was no point. There was no reason. The truth was there. That no matter who you are, you're loved by Jesus Christ. And people were so so knowledgeable of that truth that joys and concerns were the best joys and concerns I've ever heard. Because nobody hid anything. It was all out there for everyone to see. And the neat thing about this place is that the community, the church, is very transient. So you wouldn't get people who stayed very long. And yet even the new people who walked in, me and the rest of us, part of the group, knew immediately that this was a place that you were loved. And it was a place that you did not have to hide anything, because there was nothing that you could say that would turn somebody's love off. Joys and concerns, there were a number of people who said, I would like to thank God today because today marks my 9th month of sobriety. There was a few of those kind of declarations. And every time a declaration like that was told, there was such cheering and clapping and enjoyment. People celebrated that people were recovering. There was a woman who was sitting, and she said, I would like to thank God today because my family is with me. And I praise God for that. And she said, I would like prayers for my brother. She points to the man who's sitting next to her. Please pray for him because he is constantly struggling with drugs, and he can't seem to find freedom. He's sitting right there. If you told someone during Joys and Concerns that you hadn't talked to previously and said, and I would like prayers for Brent because he is, I don't know, has not very much hair on his head, or whatever the case is, that person may be embarrassed. And Brent, if you're embarrassed, I'm sorry. This man, he said, yes, please pray. There was no shame, there was no embarrassment, there was no problem, because he knew he needed prayer and he was in a place where people would pray for him. We got to talk to the pastor later, after the service, and we talked about the people who were there, and he said, yeah, and he said there were a few ladies who were there that were standing on the street corner working on Friday, and they were worshiping us on Sunday, and I know that they're going to be out next weekend. And yet, they were happy that they were there, worshiping God, praising Jesus Christ, feeling that this is a place that they are loved, because that was the presenting truth. Nothing else. Pastor's clothes, what he wore, were ratty old sneakers with ankle-high white socks, khaki shorts, and a big old hoodie. That was his outfit. And the outfit that you see in other of the people who were there was much the same, because people knew that they would be loved and they did not have to hide what they were going through. The church in Thessalonica was one of those churches that when you went, you knew that you would be loved. And you knew that you could love back as you were, where you were in that moment. Oh, the Church New Hope has a process of discipleship. There is a sense of growth, of moving from where you are to where Christ is calling you to be. But at any point in their life, wherever you are, in that moment, you will be loved. And the church in Thessalonica said you don't have to hide. End with one thing here. One of the men that was in the service doing Joys and Concerns, one of the things that he asked for prayer for and joy for is they had a children's program in the back, so all the kids were in the back. And he said, I would like to pray to God today for my baby's mama, that she might know that she is loved, and that the Lord Jesus may be within her heart and her life. And he was sitting next to a woman who he was obviously enamored with. You know, they always had their arms around one another, and they were during the praise and worship part. They were dancing together and smiling. They're just having a fantastic time worshiping God. And he turned to the woman that he was with, and he said, "And I would like to praise God for my other baby's mama who's with me today, and I love her so much." Now in proper society. But that's the thing. There's no proper society. There's only love. And in this church, in the love of Jesus Christ, all those who were there were concerned with loving them. And he knew it. And he wanted to thank God for the blessings that he had. I pray that we are that church. That you are that church. That whoever comes into your life, however they may come into your life, that the first thing that we're able to lead with is not frustration or agitation or some sort of misplaced sense of judgment, but that we lead first with God's love. That we lead first with the understanding that Christ loves me, and so I should love others. And I think we're in a good place. But we can always get better. We can always learn more. We can always grow and be this church that Paul and Timothy and Silvanus loved about the Thessalonians. So I praise God for any opportunity in our lives that God will bring that we can love one another. Hold on to the faith, and that when people see us, they see the truth that Jesus Christ died for us, rose for us, and gave us hope above all else. I'd like to close with this final reading from Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. We thank you, Lord, for your presence and your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go in peace.